on a beautiful Arizona Saturday morning out in the garden with John J. Harper of Harper's Nursery, who is getting ready to celebrate
70
years
not me
in business.
No.
Our
family's business in March, 70 years.
And you're bringing in a special guest.
We have a special, you know, we do the first Saturday, which is hot dogs and horticulture. So we're going to grill. And I think we're going to, since it's 70 years, we're going to do a little better than just hot dogs. It's, you know, we'll do some fun stuff on the grill. But yeah, a special guest, maybe probably the patriarch of Arizona nursery and landscaping industry right now. My dad is going to come in and take your question. He's probably the best vegetable gardener that I know, and answer your questions about vegetable gardening at our Scottsdale location at 10 o'clock. That's 2 weeks from now.
March 7th.
March 7th.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Well, hey, congratulations for 70 years.
Just our last caller, diverting to callers. He said when he bought those blueberries, his wife said, "Are you sure those will grow there?" And he said, "Well, why would they sell them if they don't grow here?" And I said, "Oh, they count on people like you, John." You want to talk about that?
Well, that's a good question. You know, why would somebody stock something if it didn't grow here? And you know, to bash big boxes, but any national chain of places has a buyer that buys for hundreds of stores, and they typically go to a grower and say, "I want 20 of those at every store." And that's number one, how they buy so well and get their costs down, because they buy so darn many because they spread it out over so many stores. And so these stores end up with a lot of things that don't necessarily grow or do well here. And that's a good point. To me, I would have the same response, and I think a lot of people do, when they walk into someplace and they see it. Well, why would they carry it if it didn't do well here? Well, it does do well in Flagstaff or Payson, but not here, or, you know, this store, that store. So it really pays to either do a little research first or go to a local establishment, you know, whether we're talking, you know, garden tools or nurseries or, you know, whatever it is, so that you know, especially in Phoenix, Arizona is like gardening and almost nowhere else. It really is. There are not many places in the world that are very similar to what and how we have to garden here.
One of the points you made during the break that I thought was interesting is, you know, the mindset of, well, they wouldn't sell it if it didn't grow here. Maybe as it relates to vegetables and trees and landscape, you should be thinking, well, if that did well, I would see it a lot more places.
Why don't you see it everywhere? And that's a lot of times the way we answer people. They say, "Well, this grow here." I said, "How many have you seen?" "Well, not very many." I said, "Well, if bananas did really well here, wouldn't a lot of people have bananas in their backyard?" That doesn't mean you can't grow a banana here, but it takes a special person and dedication with an avocado or a banana or certain things. And, you know, one of your guests last week, Greg Peterson, one of the reasons he got into fruit trees was he bought a fruit tree from a nursery years ago or someplace that wasn't designed to grow here, and it never produced any fruit. So he decided he was going to help educate people on what to plant here. And it is different. We have low chill. We have early springs. We have hot weather. You know, we have a lot of nuances. Yes, you can grow beautiful peaches here. Go to Queen Creek and pick them sometimes. You know, I mean, yes, you can grow roses here, but, you know, you got to do it. You know, yes, you can grow tomatoes here, but you can't buy the same varieties that you bought when you lived in Illinois, and you can't wait till the middle of March to plant them. So you really need to tune in to this show and listen. You need to do your research. You need to belong to a garden club. You need to go to a local nursery and ask questions and find out what does really well here.
So going big box with the kids and letting them pick the plant they desire, bring it home, and assume it's going to grow because they sold it, not
a good assumption.
Not a winning formula.
Not a good assumption at all. Now, I'm all for taking the kids, and I
Amen.
Think that's a great
Amen.
Thing to do. But let the kids pick a pack of seeds, not a $9 or $10 blueberry. You know, they'll be very happy with some sunflower seeds or a 4-inch pot of dahlias. You know, you can pick all the flowers. You know, pay a couple bucks for a flower. If it dies in a month or 6 weeks or 2 weeks or a couple days, you know, you're not out much. But I wouldn't let them pick the fruits and vegetables that you're going to try and have success with.
And let's see if we can bring Jim in real quick before we wrap up the garden hour, which, speaking of local, it doesn't get any more local than prickly pears.
Yeah, I've got a problem mainly on the Santa Rita variety, the you know, the one that turns purple. And it gets black spots on it, and they just continue enlarging, and then the spots develop a white ring around it, and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and you know, I've cut off all of the infected ones, and it just comes back.
Well, typically, especially the Santa Rita one, they're really prone to getting that coccineal scale, that white fuzzy patch on there that's actually an insect that's attacking them, and it leaves a scar, and then I think it probably has it backwards. It's probably getting the white, and then it's turning black. But
anything you can do?
Spray it, knock them off with a heavy stream of water.
We'll get Jennifer to get some recipes for that insect for next week.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Red dye.
Yeah, you're talking.
Make a red dye out of it.